Are we on?
You're saying rotate your phone now.
You're on.
Should we do a vertical? Hey folks, hope you're doing well today. This is Pastor Roy, Central Baptist Church. Good to get you to bear with us a few minutes. We're not actually going to start right yet. We're going to wait till 10:45. So we've got about six more minutes to go. One of the things that we're going to be doing here is trying to get a few little technical issues squared away so that we can come to you live. This is actually the first time that we will have come to you, I guess you'd call it live from the dining room for Central Baptist Church. We did do this early in the pandemic, but what we were doing was we were actually doing it as shooting video. So this time we're actually going live. I'll call it live from the dining room for church this morning. But at any rate, we're going to take these few minutes to allow folks to be able to gather. Hope and trust and pray that everybody is doing well and safe, and that you didn't get too much of the bad weather, regardless of where you're watching from. I know there are so many different places that one that I already know. I talked to my mom a little while ago. They had about 4 inches of heavy wet snow, and Dad was out there using his snow blower. Finally got a significant enough snow to get out there and play. So all the neighbors are happy. He's out there clearing off their driveways as well. But at any rate, we're going ahead and going live a little bit early. We're not going to start the service early yet, but this will just give folks time to know that we're here and time to be able to find us. And it also gives us an opportunity to make some adjustments, just like we're making right now. So hopefully, once we get all that squared away, it'll be a good thing. Now, I guess you call it a day off. A lot of folks had said, well, you know, we made the decision this week a little bit early to go ahead and reconfigure how things were going to go today as far as the schedule. It was easier to do that this time because we had this option of technology and coming to you live by Facebook. It's always a tough challenge for your staff when it comes time to call off a service, because we just love so much having the opportunity to be in church, to be together with folks. And of course, this pandemic has really put a crimp in all that. It's been one of those situations where we just haven't been able to give the hugs like we normally want to. We haven't been able to shake hands like we normally would want to and have conversation and spend time together, but nonetheless, it's still a great opportunity. So today we want to thank you for taking this time to join us. So if we still have a few minutes before we start, so if you want to go ahead and heat your coffee up and get yourself ready for a few minutes of Bible study around God's Word today, that'd be great. I do want to remind folks, and but just because of this platform, I try to be very careful about names, but just continue to remember both Jimmy and Georgie, as well as David and Donna and Billy, and some of the folks that we know and love or that are part of our church that are battling COVID right now. I'm going to ask you just specifically to take the time to lift up Jimmy. Jimmy is going through a tough battle with this COVID right now, and prayer changes things. We truly believe that, so we're counting on that as we take these opportunities to lift these folks in prayer. And we just want to remind you, continue to pray for those that are on our prayer list. While I still have a few minutes, I do want to just let folks know that as far as the prayer list and how we get prayer requests out, just to let you know what's going on and what's taking place with that. If it's during regular office hours, Monday through Thursday from 9 to 4, and you have a prayer request, you can let Debbie know at the office. You can call her. You can send her an email. And she'll make sure that those prayer requests get out. If it's after hours, after 4 o'clock or on a weekend, Bonnie Ramba will take care of that. And we're going to be getting that information out to you very soon about who to contact. And that's for the email. Now, our email and our social media prayer requests are different. So if you put something on social media, then that doesn't always mean that it's going to get over to the prayer list. So we're trying to figure out a way to streamline that. But for right now, if you put a prayer request on social media, please let us know so that we can make sure we get it on the prayer list, that the printed prayer list that Debbie has, also the prayer list that Tim takes care of on our website. So that would be really, really helpful. And the other thing is, please keep us up to date. If someone passes, or if we don't know any data or information about them, it would be great for you to take that opportunity to let us know, hey, you can take this person off. And we look at that as a praise. You know, if we can take someone off, maybe someone has passed away. If that's the case, then also, you know, it'd be good to let us know so that we wouldn't continue to have folks on our prayer list that we need to take off. So anyway, just letting you know that we're glad you're with us. Now it's 10:45, and I would sing for you, but I wouldn't want you to just cut out of this feed. If you heard me sing, that's probably what would happen. But at any rate, I'm missing hearing, you know, Lynn, Tammy, our brass sections, and Jim, and all the folks that make things happen. You're not going to have all the fun little bells and whistles today that our production team usually takes care of with Don and Jeff and Blake. So yeah, we're just pretty high speed, low drag this morning from Pastor Roy's dining room. But at any rate, we're glad that you're with us today. We're going to look at God's Word. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And yeah, I believe that each and every one of us deal with temptation on a daily basis. Now, some of you are out there thinking that's a great big amen. As a matter of fact, that's all right. Go ahead and type that down at the bottom. And as you're finding that passage, our online audience today, that's all we've got. We're not able to look over and wave at someone. So go down in the comments right now. Say hello to somebody that you see that's watching, or give them a wave. Let them know that you're there. Let us know that you're there. Dr. Dent, I'm sure he's probably monitoring from home as well. Yes, he is. And if you have any questions whatsoever, he'll be able to answer those questions. If there's anything that we can do in any way to help you, please don't hesitate to let us know. If you have any questions about our church or anything, we'll definitely try to get that addressed with you. But anyway, over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, we see Jesus dealing with a circumstance, a situation that every one of us deal with, and I would be willing to say almost on a daily basis. You know, temptation is one of those things that comes in your life, comes in my life, and it even came in the life of Jesus. Now, I want us to be very cautious as we think about this and as we go forward, because if the devil was brazen enough to tempt Jesus, what do you think he's going to do toward you and me? He boldly came and tempted Jesus in these passages that we're going to look at. So don't think that you and I are going to be able to escape the devil's tactics. Now, this is one of those particular passages where we see Jesus and how he was tempted by Satan. But one of the joys in it is that we can also gather how Jesus was able to overcome that temptation. That is something that the way he overcame is something that you and I can apply to our lives and be victorious as well over the temptations that are going to come our way. Let's take a look at the scripture. I'll read through it, and then we'll have some word of prayer as we begin today. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, says, that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, you If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, It is written again, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Away with you, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, as we come to you today, we're so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather together, the opportunity to be able to worship you on a rainy and cold and snowy Sunday morning. Lord, I'm thankful that you've provided this means by which we can still gather together as the church, because the church really are your people. It's not about a building, but it's about your people. So today, Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful. Father, I pray that you will guard and be with every family. Lord, those that are tuning in today, those that are watching, may they be blessed by coming together around your word. Lord, may you give us some arrows in our quiver as we battle Satan on a daily basis. Help us, Lord, to learn from your example in our lives. Now, Father, for these moments, I just pray that you would bless me, that you would use me as your instrument, that your word would truly come to life in the hearts and the minds of those who are listening, that, Lord, they might be applied, and, Lord, that application truly would change their lives today. For, Lord, it's not about the one who preaches the gospel, but it is about the one whom the gospel is preached about, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray that today you will truly give us insight into your word as we read in the book of Revelation. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for a lot of us this morning, this is not an unfamiliar passage, but I believe that this is a passage that we all need to visit very often in our lives, because if Satan was bold enough to go and tempt Jesus, what do you think he's going to do for you and I? He wants us to fail. He wants us to backslide. He wants us to lose in our walk with Jesus. Now, when I say lose, I want us to keep in mind that when you give your life to Jesus, nothing can ever take that away from you whatsoever. But what Satan does do is he will allow those temptations in your life essentially to hurt your testimony, to hurt your walk with the Lord, and he'll do anything that he can to keep anybody from looking at a God-filled, God-led life and say, hey, you know, that's something that I want. And all of us know that. I mean, most of us know right now that we deal with temptations. Now, Paul, one of the greatest preachers in the world, said this, if you remember the time that he said, why is it that the things I shouldn't do are the things that I do? And the things that I should do are the things that I don't do. Do you remember that? Remember those words from Paul? He said that with a bit of frustration. Now, some of us today can probably think the Holy Spirit has probably already pointed out in our lives a temptation that we struggle with, something that we tend to fail very often with. And we get frustrated, don't we? You know, there are times when you're sitting there and at night and you have confessed and you have repented and the Lord has forgiven you and you have peace in that forgiveness. And then the next day you go out and do the same thing. And then the next day you go out and do the same thing. And you wrestle with the fact, well, was that really repentance? I really meant that when I prayed it, but I'm just frustrated in regard to some temptations. And let me tell you something. Satan knows exactly what buttons to push in your life. And some of you out there right now, if I could see you, are going, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, he knows exactly what buttons to push. He knew that with Jesus as well. And he takes advantage of those things. Let's go back to the word in chapter 4, and let's get this picture. It says, when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, that's an interesting sentence right there in verse 4. It says, and was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This was coming. This was not anything that was by surprise whatsoever. Now, as a reminder, folks, I want to tell you that anything that happens in your life, Jesus knows about. There are things that are allowed to happen in our lives. There are times that they're tests of our faith. There are times that Jesus is trying to strengthen us in the areas of faith and following in our lives. And whatever the case may be, you know, this was something that was that did not take the Lord by surprise. Now, verse 2 says, and when he had fasted for 40 days, sometimes I have problems getting past that particular part of the verse. Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. Now, most of us would have a hard time, including me, fasting for 40 minutes. You know, we're in the cabinet, we're looking for something to eat or what have you. But you have to remember that what a fast is really all about is giving up something. And in this case, it was food. It was giving up something to spend that time with the Lord, that the Lord may speak, that the Lord may move in some incredible ways in the hearts and the lives of people. Now, folks, the Bible tells us that fasting is something that we should do. You know, taking that opportunity instead of going to the kitchen or sitting down at the table to spend that time with the Lord, to take that time to say, Lord, I'm going to give something up just so that I can see you do some great and incredible things. Now, it's not playing let's make a deal with God. That's not what it's all about. And it's not, you know, fasting is also not about one of those things where you start tooting your horn and letting everybody know about it. In fact, the Word tells us, you know, if you have been fasting, it says wash your face and comb your hair. It's not for other people to know about that. That's something that you do between you and God for a purpose. Now, Jesus had been spending time with the Father in the wilderness. Verse 2 tells us, and he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. I believe that's probably one of the biggest understatements that we see in the Word of God, that last phrase in verse 2, he was hungry. Obviously, he was hungry. If you hadn't eaten for 40 days, you would probably be hungry as well. So what this is telling us is the conditions under which Jesus is in at the time that this temptation comes. He's been in the wilderness. He has been in prayer for 40 days and 40 nights. He has finished that season of time spending it with the Father, and now he is hungry. You know, he's coming out of that fast, and he's probably, you know, he's sitting there thinking, you know what, it's been 40 days. I think I'd like to get something to eat. My belly's growling a little bit. Now, pay careful attention to what's taking place and what's going on here, because the exact same thing that happened to Jesus happens to you and I. Satan will use the exact same technique. Now, let's go down to verse 3. It says, now when the tempter came to him, the tempter, when Satan came to him, him being Jesus, verse 3, he said, if, that's a key phrase, if, he's putting it out there, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, remember what I said a minute ago. I said, remember the condition under which Jesus is in. He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan comes to him, and he poses a question. He didn't come to him and say, since you are the Son of God, he said, if. He's trying to push him. Yeah. Yeah, have you done that with people, or have people done that with you before? They'll say, well, I'll tell you what, if this is true, then. It's that, they're if-then statements. If this is true, then this will happen. So he's already and automatically making this situation a situation of doubt. You know, he's looking at Jesus and saying, yeah, I'm really doubting what you're saying about being the Son of God. Now, he says, verse 3, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. How easy would that have been for Jesus to say, great, yeah, that will kill two birds with one stone? The reason why is because I haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm hungry. I can show old Satan what it's all about. I can make the stones become bread, you know, and I can go, see, I told you, I am who I profess to be. I am the Son of the living God. And then he would also have something to eat. How easy would it have been for Jesus to give in to that temptation? Now, in your life and in my life, we're probably looking at circumstances right now, maybe whatever it is the Holy Spirit has put on our heart, and we see how easy it is to fall and to fail. Folks, there are even times when we will look at something as God-given that has actually come from Satan. Now, bear with me for just a moment, because you're going to understand what I'm talking about as we go a few more verses down. But it says, verse 3, he's told Jesus, he said, if you're who you say you are, then you take these stones and make them to become bread. He was appealing to a personal need of Jesus Christ at that particular moment. Now, does Satan appeal to your personal needs at a particular moment when it is tempting? At times when you know that something's wrong or know that it's something that you should not do, but it is a personal need of yours. It is a personal need that you have. Satan is great about doing that. Remember what I said. He knows what buttons to push in your life for you to fail in regard to the temptation. Now, let's look at what Jesus' answer was. Verse 4, he said this. It says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. How did Jesus combat this particular temptation? He did it by using Scripture. Now, I don't know if your Bible has those notes, but mine has the notes on it. And if you look down at the bottom in chapter 4, verse 4, it says that he is referencing the scriptural passage from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. He is verbatim quoting Scripture to Satan. Folks, that's one of the ways to victory over temptation, is through Scripture. Now, I'm not saying that just quoting it is going to make the difference. It has to sink in. It has to be applied in your life. But you have to know what the Scriptures are to be able to make application in your life. So this is how Jesus answered the first temptation of Satan by using the Word of God. And he said to him, what did he say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Verse 5 says, essentially, we don't know what happened right after that, but what we do know is that Jesus did not succumb to the temptation. Satan was not happy at that particular point in time or moment, and he realized that the game that he had just tried to run on Jesus was over. It wasn't going to work. Jesus was not going to fall to the temptation that was just presented to him. So did that mean that Satan gave up? Let me ask you something this morning. And if you're watching, I want you to answer this in the comments. If Satan comes at you with a temptation and you are victorious for the sake of our Lord and Savior, does he just throw his hands up and say, oh, I lost out on that one, and go away from your life? What's your answer? Type it down there below. You think Satan gives up that easy? No, he does not. Yeah, that doesn't mean that he's going to come at you with that exact same temptation again. Satan's really good about coming back at you with the same temptation over and over again when you fail or fall to that temptation. He says, well, if this one's working, as long as this one's working, I'll just keep on using that in the life of this particular person. Now, those are the times that it creates frustration with us, when we fall or fail over and over again in the same temptation. We sit back and say, I don't understand why it is that I keep being taken in by this same temptation. It's frustrating, isn't it? Sometimes you're in your prayer closet and you're going, Lord, why is it? You're just like Paul that we mentioned earlier when he said, Lord, why is it that I keep doing the things I shouldn't be doing and I'm not doing the things that I should be doing? If you're like I am, that can be extremely frustrating. Well, Satan gave up on that particular temptation with Jesus because he knew that it wasn't going to make any difference. But that didn't mean that he gave up on tempting Jesus for good. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, verse 6, if, here's that if again. If, that means there's doubt. That means that I don't believe. You know, I've often said this. You know, that's why we have to be careful. You have probably been at some point in your life where there's been a circumstance or a situation where you've done something to somebody and you realize what you've done. But later on, what happens is you go to that person and you say, well, I just want to let you know, if I offended you, then I'm sorry. Well, what does that say to the person? Maybe you've been the person that's had somebody tell you that. If I offended you, then I'm sorry. Well, what that says is this. That says, I don't really believe I offended you, but nonetheless, I want to try to put this behind us, so I'm going to go ahead and apologize. And we know that that's not a real wholehearted apology. Well, now, Satan is using the same sort of tactic here in the second temptation in verse 5 when he says this, or actually it's verse 6. It says, if you are the Son of God, meaning he's questioning whether Jesus really is the Son of God. He is questioning his deity. He is questioning his authority as Savior. If, verse 6, you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. In other words, okay, if you're who you say you are, you're the Son of God, go ahead and jump off this high pinnacle. And here's what he says in verse 6. He said, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, once again, you've got a little letter or a little number there. If you've got a reference Bible, that is chapter 4, verse 6. And down here, what do we find? We find that Jesus is directly, Satan is actually directly quoting Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Now, that should really make us think for a moment. Who did I just say, and who does the Word say, was quoting that scripture? That wasn't Jesus. That was Satan. Go back and look at it again. Verse 6, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Folks, let me make you a promise. Satan knows what the Word of God says. He actually quotes a direct scripture, but he is twisting it into a completely different context than what it was intended to be. And he will do that in your life. He will do that in my life. And that is the reason it is so critically important that you and I not just simply read the Word of God, but that we study the Word of God, that we listen to the Holy Spirit as He leads our lives through those Scriptures. Because you know what? We can actually make wrong application to Scriptures, and Satan himself is using Scripture to tempt Jesus at this particular point. Are you picking that up? That's why you've got to be so careful just to say, well, this is written this way. It has to be in the right context. Now, I've said this many, many times, and I will continue to say it as long as God allows me to preach. There are people who will take the Word of God and take it out of context to make it say what they want it to say. Then you're also taking the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life completely out. You have to listen. If there's tension in that, because even Satan himself will throw scripture at you to make you believe something to be something other than what the Lord wants you to be. Satan himself, right there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, uses a scriptural quote in the temptation of Jesus. Now, if he did that to Jesus, as we've been saying throughout this particular Bible study, if he did it in the life of Jesus, he's going to do it in your life. He's going to do it in my life as well. Be very, very careful that the Word of God is backed up by the Word of God. And it will be. And the Holy Spirit will give you peace and assurance about the direction that you're going to take. Just because it has a scripture tacked to it, it has to be taken in the proper context. And right here, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, is proof of that. So how did Jesus, the Word says that the angels are going to come and take care of you, that you won't even stump your toe on a rock, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So Jesus, verse 7, says to him, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Stop it. Stop what you're doing, Satan. You're quit tempting him. Now, once again, at this particular point, Satan realizes that Jesus did not succumb to his temptation, yet he still didn't go away. Now, that is one point that I do not have to preach in this Bible study, is that Satan is not a one-and-done tempter in your life. Every one of us know that. Matter of fact, you sat there and said, there is no way I can get away from him. Everywhere I turn, he's there. Everything I do, he's there. Everything I say, he's there. It's frustrating to you. But yet you're sitting there going, I can't get rid of this guy. Now, again, bear with me. There's a solution to this. Jesus, in his word, never presented simple problems without giving solutions to them. So hang in there, because in just a few minutes, we're going to look at what those solutions are. So after the second temptation, Satan didn't just go on his way and say, well, I tried and it's over. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, again, the devil took him up onto an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Look at all of this. All of this can be yours. Verse 9, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if, there's that little word if again, if you will fall down and worship me. Now, often people have sat back and said, well, you know, was that really Satan's to give? You have to understand that right now, old Satan is holding the title to the world because of the fall of man, the fall of mankind. So he's sitting there going, all this, I'll give you all this if you will only fall down and follow me. Yeah, he's sitting there viewing it all. And now I can imagine what it must have been like. It must have been a splendor to be able to see. It must have been some of the most gorgeous scenery ever known to mankind, to look down and just to be able to look out, you know, over the city and over all the kingdoms and be able to see them. Wherever that may have been, obviously there was vision to be able to see it, and I promise you it was some of the grandest vision that had ever been seen. Why? Because Satan will try to get you to compromise over things in your life. Notice what he said. He said, if you'll just fall down and worship me, all this can be yours. There's probably been times in your life when it's been a circumstance or a situation where somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, if you do this, then here's what I will give you in return. And it's been something that's pretty nice. The thing that was presented was actually something that you really, really wanted. Something that makes you want to go ahead and take the compromise. And maybe there have been times when you've actually done that. Maybe you did take the compromise, and later there was regret to it. Now, notice what we say as we plow on. He says, all this I can give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Verse 10 is Jesus' response to that third temptation. It says, then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written. I can't stress this enough. For it is written. Where is it written? It is written in the Word of God. You are seeing over and over and over again how Jesus, his biggest offensive tool, it's a defensive tool as well as an offensive tool when it comes to fighting temptation and when it comes to fighting Satan in your life. It says, verse 10, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, again, little letters, little numbers, whatever the case may be in your Bible, if you've got that and you look at chapter 4, verse 10, and you go down to the bottom, that's where you see where he's saying, get thee behind me, Satan. He's saying, this is what is written. Verse 11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Now, here's what I want to give you to kind of wrap this up. Now, we've looked at this temptation. It's probably not new to us. We've probably gone over it many times in our Christian lives. But here are the things that we want to glean from this passage today. And first of all, it's this, that number one, the devil knows exactly where to tempt you. Nobody else on this earth may know that, but let me make you a promise. Satan knows exactly the things to tempt you with. He knows the things that you're standing right on the edge that you could be very easily pushed over. That's number one. He knows where to tempt you. And how he does that in three different ways, which we've seen from this passage. Number one, in the flesh, the things that we need. Remember what he told Jesus? He said, you know, he's like, okay, he'll be vulnerable when it comes down to being hungry since he's been fasting for 40 days. So I will use that and try to appeal to the fleshly side of Jesus. Now, there wasn't a fleshly side of Jesus, which this is the reason why it was so tough for him to succumb to the temptation, because he never did. Now, for you and I, that's a different story, isn't it? You know, when something appeals to us in the flesh, you know, that just sometimes we sit back and say, oh, okay, this is what I've been wanting. This is what I've been praying for. So it must be from God. Folks, you've got to be very careful. Now, let me interject this, because there have been times in your life and in my life where everything seems to have lined up perfectly as an answer from the Lord. When I think about that, I often have to say, is there any tension in your life when it comes to that? Is there something that you're sitting back going, well, I think this is from God, but something's just not right about it? You know, I recall back to the time where King David was running from Saul, and he went and he hid in the cave. And of all the caves out in all the wilderness to stop in, Saul and his men, while they were hunting David, stopped, and Saul had to go relieve himself and went to the exact cave where David was. Now, as David's men were in the cave and they were looking out, and they said, this is Saul. And they said, he's coming in here. Now, David, you got to understand, this had to be perfectly set up from God. All the stars are aligning for this to be how God wants you to take Saul out, that you might become the king. But yet David was sitting there going, something's just not right about this. Something doesn't feel right about it. There's something, you know, and all of his men are going, listen, here's your chance to kill him and take the throne like God promised you you would. You know, of all the places to stop, God had to have set it up for Saul to stop here. God had to have set it up for God to come into this cave. God had to set this up for one reason, so that you could take the life of Saul and become the king. And yet David was sitting there going, no, something doesn't feel right about that, because God is the one who appointed Saul king. And if God wants to get rid of Saul as king, then God doesn't need my help in doing it. So you can see where at times things can line up where it looks like it is God doing it, and yet it's not. So I want to caution us on that. Remember, Satan comes at us and he tempts us in the flesh, and then he'll also do it before the multitudes. Folks, we have pride. Whether we want to believe that or not, we have pride. Nobody wants to be challenged in front of their friends or their family. You know, when you're sitting there and somebody starts coming up to you and starts to ridicule you, somebody starts to push you. As I was reading this, actually I thought about a series of the Andy Griffith Show, where the fellow that later on went on to play Roscoe P. Coltrane was the guitar player, Jim Lindsay. Remember that one? And then Andy was trying to get him a job with Freddie Fleet's band, and had him in jail, and Jim wasn't going to play. And Andy asked him to tune the guitar, asked Jim Lindsay to tune the guitar. And, of course, the guy started making fun of him, you know, because of the way he was tuning the guitar. And it began to really eat at old Jim Lindsay. And then finally, that's what pushed him to play, to essentially audition for Jim Lindsay's band. Before the end of the episode, he got the job with him. But nonetheless, he was pushed into that because of his pride. People were making fun of him. Satan loves to do that. Satan loves to come to you and do, and he wants to do it with an audience to try to make you look bad. Well, if you can do this, then why don't you do it? Come on, show me. Let me see it. And our pride usually says, okay, well, step back. You know, hold my coffee. Watch this. I'm going to do it. But we didn't. You know, the reason we're doing it is to try to prove somebody else wrong. And in doing so, we can tend to fall into temptation. Notice what happened with Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to perform for you. I don't have to perform for you. I'm not going to fall into this temptation. So there's another way that Satan tempts us. And then what he does, he tempts us with our desires. He'll sit back and say, well, I'll tell you what. You know what? If I can keep you busy, if I can keep you from being everything God wants you to be by giving you money, I'll give you money. If I can keep you from being what God wants you to be, I will give you all these things. And then, folks, what happens is later on down the road, what people find themselves is in the position of, you know, being well, and I'm just using this particular thing as an example, maybe wealthy, all their life, and they sit back and they look and they realize that they have done absolutely nothing that God put them on this planet for. They've got wealth, they've got prosperity, they've got all these things, but it's all temporal. And yet when it comes down to it, that's not what God had in store. Notice what it does. He goes after your desires. Satan says, I'll tell you what, if this is what you want, I can give that to you. Right here, I'll give it to you, but there's a cost. The cost is a compromise. The cost is you can have this, but you're going to have to stay away from Jesus. The cost is I can provide this for you if you will only, you know, just you don't walk with the Lord. Because see, the things that he's offering you are things that are going to violate what God has in store for us. And we're quick to do that because we will chase all those things. We'll chase the flesh. We'll chase not being embarrassed in front of the multitudes. And we will chase our desires. So how was it that Christ was victorious over all these things? Now, we've said before, Christian means to be Christ-like. And Christ is sitting there giving us this particular story that actually took place and saying, here's the way I did it. Why don't you emulate what I did? So let's look at the things that Jesus did and how it was that he was able to overcome the temptation. Well, here's how he did it. The first thing he did, I'm just going to give them to you real quick. There were three things that Jesus did to defeat Satan in the midst of these temptations. And one of those was, the first thing that he did was he spent time with God. Now, if you're sitting back there and the Holy Spirit has put it on your heart, and you sit back and said, well, you know what, I've got this temptation or this plethora of temptations that I keep falling into, and I really, really, genuinely, sincerely don't want to have that in my life. I'm on my knees before God and I'm begging Him. Then here's one of the first things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to spend time with God. And that doesn't mean 3 minutes in prayer. Now, please understand when I say this, don't get me wrong. I mean, you'll find devotional books that'll say 5 minutes with God and 2 minutes with God, and I've even seen them that say 1 minute with God. Folks, if 1 minute is all you have time to spend with God, you're way, way too busy, and you're lacking in that time of being able to be with Him. So one of the things that Jesus did was He spent time with the Father. That's what He was doing. He was out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights in prayer. So He was spending time with Him in such a fashion, He didn't even stop to get strength or nourishment through eating anything. Can we say that we do that? Can we say that we spend quality time with the Father? Do we spend not only quality time, do we spend quantity time with Him? You know, or do we just blow in there and say, hey, Lord, just want to say thank you. Don't want to bother you. I'm out the door. I believe with all my heart that the Lord's saying, look, come on in. Pull up a chair and bother me for a while. Come on, pull up a chair. Spend some time with me. Pull up a chair and let's get to know each other again. Let's get to know each other better. And that's what God wants most of all. Let me make you this promise. If you do this, I can promise you that you will hear the voice of God louder. You will get the direction of God sooner, and you will be better able to withstand the temptation because you're going to be doing it through the power of the Lord. Okay? So that's the first thing you got to do. If you're going to be victorious in your temptations, then you're going to have to spend time with God. The second thing that was going on was He was Spirit-led. You know, notice even what it says here, it says back in chapter 4, verse 1, it says that He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted tempted by the devil. That was all part of God's plan. See, so a lot of us don't like the plan that God has. Too many times we sit back and we are going through circumstances and situations and we are asking the Lord our God, and we're sitting there going, oh Lord, get me out of this circumstance. Get me out of this situation. And you know what? That's okay. I mean, that may be perfectly fine to ask for that. But one of the things we've got to understand is that going through the things we're going through may be the exact vehicle that God is using to move us to a different level with Him, to move us to a better walk with Him, to move us from where we are to where He wants us to be. So we've got to understand that we have got to follow the Spirit. And folks, you can't follow the Spirit if you can't hear the Spirit. And the Spirit is what leads us. The Spirit is what guides us. And there have been times when people have said, well, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. Well, folks, if you're a believer, if you're a born-again believer, you have the Holy Spirit, plain and simple. There is no believer on the face of this planet that does not have the Holy Spirit, because that's what you get when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about David and Saul in the situation with the cave. There was something wrong. David was like, there was just something not right. Well, guess what that was? It was the Spirit telling him that even though it seemed like the stars lined up, this is not what God wants you to do. That's what He said. Now, so the third thing, what is the third thing for us to overcome temptation? And then I'll wrap it all up with the three of them and then pray us out of here. The third thing was Scripture. There is Scripture that is quoted in here. Folks, that is why it is so important for you and I to know the Scriptures. And I don't mean to have a head knowledge of them, but to allow them to sink down into our hearts that we might truly be able to make application to what we read in the Word of God. Now, we're not just twisting in the wind when we do that. It's not like life is just a gigantic book report, but the Holy Spirit is the one who interprets the Scriptures for us. But you know what? You can't follow them if you don't know them. That's why, to me, it is critically important that each and every one of us know what the Scriptures have to say. That's why at church we have Awana. Awana is about Scripture memorization. You know what? We try to get it in the kids' heads, because someday the Holy Spirit's going to allow it to seep down into their hearts. I remember things I learned in Awana when I was a kid that I still apply in my life today. Well, the Holy Spirit can't bring it out in your life if you don't know it. So you've got to get in the Word. Simply said, how was it that Jesus overcame the temptations of Satan? And how does he want us to follow him? Number one, by spending time with God. Number two, by being led by the Spirit. And number three, by being immersed in the Scripture. That is the only way that you and I will ever be able to overcome and have victory over the temptations that are coming in our lives. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we can apply the same standards that Jesus did to defeat the temptations that are coming in your life and that are coming in my life. Because here's the simple thing that most of us know. They're coming. Whether it's today, whether it's tomorrow, or wherever it may be, those temptations are coming. In just a moment, I'm going to close this out in a word of prayer. I want to thank you for taking the time to join us here today at for our Bible study or for our message. We pray that you staying safe and healthy at home today. Continue to pray for those that are on our prayer list. Remember, I mentioned some before, and I'm just going to tell you, Jimmy is the most critical need right now. We need to really rally around and pray for Jimmy. Just because of our vast audience for today, I don't want to say last names. If you need to know more information on that, you can contact me or one of our staff members, and we'll give that to you. But just lift Jimmy in your prayers today. God knows what the circumstance is, and he knows what's taking place, and he knows what's going on. Also, folks, listen, don't forget, stay faithful to your tithes and offerings. You have done a wonderful, wonderful job with doing that. If you are so electronically inclined, you can go to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll see a giving tab there. You can give online. Even though we're not meeting for this week, Duke Power still wants their power bill. We still have salaries to pay and expenses to pay. And it's not just because of that, folks, but we want God to bless you. God says he will give you a tremendous blessing as you follow him in your giving. So don't lose out on the blessing, the gigantic blessing God has for you when it comes to that. Now listen, if you're watching today and you're not part of the church, we would love to have you support this ministry as we continue to try to get the word of God out. If you're not a member of a church, listen, the Lord tells us to take your tithe into the storehouse. So if you're already a member of a church, then don't give to our church. But if you're not a member of a church and the Lord has led you to tithe at our church or to send a gift, same way. You can go to www.oakridgecbc.org, click the giving tab, and you can take care of that right there. But at any rate, please remember to be faithful to that. You've done such a wonderful job through this pandemic, and God's word is continuing to go forward. Thank you for all of you who were with us last week as we had Pastor Julio. Continue to pray for him. Right now, he is finishing up a business trip in Kansas City, and then he will be going back to Tampa where his sister lives. Right now, his flight back to Cuba has been canceled because of COVID-related travel restrictions. So we don't know exactly when he's actually going to be able to get back to his family, but just pray for that. I know he'll be anxious and excited to be able to get back home once his responsibilities of this trip are over with. But folks, listen, I want to pray that you have a great, great day. Maybe it's time to get you another cup of coffee or a sandwich for lunch. Stay in. Don't get out in the bad weather. And we'll look forward to seeing you in the house of the Lord next Sunday. By the way, don't forget, we do have our Bible study on Wednesday. That takes place right here on this same channel that you're viewing us on right now through Facebook, which is our church's Facebook page. We'd love to have you join us for Wednesday Bible study. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer as we get on with our day. Father, you're good to us. We're so thankful that you didn't leave us hanging on what we needed to do when it came down to temptations. But Lord, you gave us a plan. You were a role model in how to handle temptation. Lord, help us to realize that Satan truly is devious. He's tricky. He knows your word. He tries to use that against us. He tries to twist it in ways that it means something other than what you intended for it to be. Help us, Lord, to walk so close with you that we will see that we will spot those things, and that we will not give in to the temptation. Lord, I pray that you will bless everybody within the sound of my voice. May you just give a special blessing to each and every family that has tuned in today. And Lord, keep them safe and healthy, and until we meet again, as your word says, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. For Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful day and a wonderful week.